Hello and welcome to Game of Thrones Weekly. Tonight we're discussing the New Year resolutions for the characters of Game of Thrones. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Woo! We're back. Happy New Year, Jeremy Dan, entrepreneur and business USC Marshall professor.
Pretty much nailed that.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's great to be back. I feel refreshed, like I'm ready to turn over a new leaf, just like all these characters, all the people we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm excited for this year. I am excited that we only have one more year now until Game of Thrones comes back. But in the meantime, we've got some New Year's resolutions to discuss for these characters and what directions we think maybe they should go.
If only they'd listen to us, they'd lead much more productive, happy lives, for sure.
I think so. So I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. I'll be hosting this evening with, again, Jeremy Dan.
I'm surprised to see you here tonight, actually.
Why?
I thought we were going to get the last minute cancellation because, I mean, you're a glamorous person and you're tied in. I thought you would definitely be at the Golden Globes. We are taping this concurrently.
Listen, and, I was going to go, but then I couldn't decide what dress to wear, and I just decided it would be much easier to come here and talk my favorite show with one of my favorite people.
That is awesome.
I turned it down, basically. So let's jump right into it. I want to start with Tyrion. Because I love Tyrion, and early on in the seasons, it would be easy to say that one of his New Year's resolutions would be maybe to join AA and not drink so much, or maybe like a sex addicts group. But I think he's not doing those things anymore, and I think it's safe to just tell him he should work on like killing his sister and not getting attached to anyone that he loves.
I don't know. You took it there.
What do you want him to do? I mean, I don't think he should advise Danny as much. Like, the advice he gave this season, I didn't think was good advice.
I was about to say his New Year's resolution should be smarter. Because he was outsmarted at every turn. I told you in an earlier time we were together, I think it might be because there is a mole in the camp, but he might need to pay attention to the internal strategy even a little more than the external strategy this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I was not happy with the advice that he gave her, other than when he didn't want her to kill Sam's brother and father.
Yeah, all the advice she took was bad, and the one she didn't take was probably the right play. That still hasn't played out. Like, Sam does not know about that yet, which I think that still bugs me. But that's a whole other issue.
I really think that, Tyrion needs to choose when he's going to chime in, because that would have been a prime moment.
Well, you know, one of the arts of leadership is, you know, when you're leading from beneath, so to speak, he might need, it doesn't always have to be advice, and he could use some other people to do it. But he is the hand of the queen. I mean, it is your job to be doing a lot. Of the kings we saw, Danny is definitely doing much more policy leadership, everything you'd expect of a leader. I mean, what did we have? Robert hunting and whoring, and we had Joffrey crossbowing and torturing people. So
yeah, speaking of Joffrey, his New Year's resolution can be to stay dead. Do you have one for him?
I did not have one for him. I kept it with the live people pretty much.
Oh, I have plenty of characters who are not alive anymore. Do you want to go ahead and give me one of yours?
Well, I took on one or two, actually, for not characters, but for the writers of the show.
Ooh, so I like that.
I want them to take on a New Year's resolution or two, actually. And one of them is to keep it going strong with the good female character storylines and portrayals, because that's a part of our zeitgeist right now. And I think they could really use that for the benefit of the show. I've, you know, watched some of the old shows. And as we, with the Me Too movement, everything that's been happening over the last few months, if you look at some of the shows from a few years ago, there was a very different way women were portrayed, talked about, and all of that. And there were times where you feel a little bit like, hey, this is not strong. It's not resonating anymore. And I think they lose, that resonance with the viewers. I wonder if it was I mean, I love the writing on the show.
Yeah.
And have always, but I wondered if it was careless writing with some of those portrayals and all of that.
You mean like the rape scenes and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or if it was intentionally setting up the end game where women were going to take their place in much stronger roles in Westeros.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a little bit of both, and I think you said that really well, because they were sort of treated bottom of the bottom. You know, we saw horrible things happen to these women, and now they're in strong positions. But for me, as a female, I kind of think you have to start at the bottom of the bottom and have been treated those ways to almost have the motivation, really, to rise to the top. Because, mm-hmm. you know, what really motivates people, I feel like, is if you've been wronged, if you have a good reason to stand up for your beliefs. And unfortunately, a lot of things that we've seen happen in the show with women being treated badly, I think has motivated a lot of their characters, especially Sansa.
It will be really interesting as this show tracks some of the past episodes in coming mm-hmm. months for people to pay attention to some of the themes like that. Not just the plot lines and kind of the interactions, but the way the land of Westeros evolved in that way, and the land maybe, or the way the writers and mindsets of people behind the show were evolving in those portrayals.
What do you think about George? Should we tell him to finish those books as his New Year's resolution?
I'm personally not a book reader, so yeah. I would rather he spend time in the script room to make sure there are no delays on that front.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk
about... Well, I have another one for the writers.
Yeah, go for it.
So why don't I jump in with that? And I, in the way they wrap up this show, again, mm-hmm. only what, we have 6 episodes left, right?
Ugh, don't I remind know, seriously. Me. But they have infinite episodes of AfterBuzz.
I hope that they embrace their past in wrapping up the show. Maybe even down to the level of, like, if we've seen the last of Hot Pie, I'm going to be mad. I want to see some Hot Pie thing. I don't know if he's working with an army cooking bread as they come up the continent to fight mm-hmm. to fight the forces of the Night King or whatever, or if they've come that far down south to the inn and we see people in battle. But I want to see, you know, I would love to see Dario Naharis again somehow. Is he wrapped up in the Golden Company? I personally don't think Cyril Farrell, who made such an impression in the first season, is gone. I'd love to see him, you know, maybe he shows up with 30 Valyrian steel swords and said, oh, we had plenty of this over in Braavos, and comes and fights. And even some people that I still think, you know, just in the way so many people thought the Hound was dead, I still mm-hmm. believe if you don't see them die on screen, there's a good chance they're alive. I would love to see somehow Blackfish wrap up in this. I would love to see even Stannis, we didn't see that
imagine if he was still alive, but he was just hiding out.
There must be some others we didn't see die on camera. I would mm-hmm. love to see a couple of them wrapped up into those episodes.
No, I agree. As far as you brought up Dario Naharis, I have for his don't be replaced by another character.
another actor.
Yeah, another actor,
Ed
exactly.
Screen.
Yes, but since we're talking about that world, for Daenerys, I have here, use your dragons. Because I feel like, you know, she is not using them. Like, I just want her to go, you know, burn the castle that Cersei's in and really use those dragons. I feel like we haven't used them to the best of their abilities.
Well, first of all, I think Use Your Dragons, that could be like a real female empowerment book in and of itself. So would you write that book for the Game of Thrones world? You know, it's like master your lightning, use your dragons.
I like that.
I don't know about that one because I do think, you know, we were just talking about Tyrion and what was good advice and bad advice, but mm-hmm. also not being a conqueror in that way. And Jon Snow gave the same advice, so it was pretty much borne out. I don't know if she wants to win a war by burning tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people out.
I don't think you need to burn that many people to get to Cersei. I think we just need to burn Cersei.
The Red Keep?
Yes. Yes, let's go straight to the Red Keep.
By the way, we saw, once she really took her dragons out for their biggest test drive yet, Kristen, we saw what happened.
Listen, like, that was an emotion. That was emotional. That shouldn't have happened. That was when she went to rescue Jon Snow. That was an emotional decision that I wouldn't have advised with.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And I think maybe hers, like, for me, I want her to use her dragons. I think maybe her New Year's resolution is obviously to sit on the throne. of the Seven Kingdoms.
I hope she does too. I would sleep better at night with a leader that I believed in and was somewhat emotionally stable.
Somewhat. I completely agree. What about Sansa? I kind of want her to actually become the badass manipulator that she's been trained to be. I mean, we've seen her with Cersei. She grew up alongside Cersei. We saw her then being manipulated by Littlefinger and sort of learning his ways. And now she's got her sister, who's also a badass, who could possibly show her some moves. But, like, I really want her to come into her role of being that manipulator.
But is manipulator the right thing?
In the right way.
In the end, we've talked on the show, you and I, about the way Littlefinger overplayed his manipulation hand. If everyone realizes that's the only tool in your toolkit, they don't manipulation loses you credibility.
That's probably not the right term. I just mean, like, you know, Cersei, she plays the game well, so it's more so strategy. Like, I want to see Sansa strategize.
Yeah.
With also her manipulation skills that she's learned in the past.
Well, I think we've seen the traces of her getting there. I mean, I thought we saw it when she was in the veil, and then she probably did. It was almost unbelievable writing, and this gets to the female empowerment stuff. One of the dumbest moves in the history of Game of Thrones. Sure, why don't I journey to Winterfell and go on a first date with a Bolton? you remember, she was in the veil. She dyed that hair black. She came down in that dress. She was looking like Catelyn. She looked like she was ready to wield all her tools and be very strong. And then they regressed her back years.
Yeah, I don't get why they did that. Yeah, she just made it, like, a really dark red, I think. Much darker. She almost definitely looks like Cersei in this photo that we're showing on screen right now. Just, like, her facial structure and her sternness reminds me of, like, a face that Cersei would make.
Well, Cersei is, just frankly, a role model for her. If she could take the best tools that a Cersei provide. But even at the other end of the spectrum, some of what her father provided. I mean, absolutely. He had his weaknesses.
I have some for him. Some New Year's resolutions for Ned. I here it is. Have an angle. Because, you know, all the characters in this show have an angle. You know, they play it, right? They're not as honest as he is, and they play that angle so that they don't get discovered or they stay safe. They play it safe. And he was honest up to the death. Maybe he should have sent that letter anonymously.
Well, another thing is he didn't spend a lot of time figuring out what other people's angles were.
Yeah. I mean, he had to have known, though, that they were all pretty coming from a bad point of view and it did not mean well for anybody else. sending that letter, what did he expect to happen?
The letter about the incest. About Stannis. At the court.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, Ned, we're giving you some resolutions. Maybe a few years too late.
New Year's resolution 2012.
Yeah. We just time traveled for you, Ned. He should have a better head on his shoulders. Ba-dum-bum. That's coming from our engineer, Anthony Nabooth. I like that, Anthony. Thank you. So I have one for Brienne. I want her to serve no one but herself.
That is an awesome resolution.
Yeah. I mean, this entire show, it's been Arya, serving Arya, and then it was serving Sansa and protecting Catelyn and her son, or doing whatever Catelyn wanted, and just traveling place to place and never getting to be Brienne.
She is not your classic female role, especially in this universe. But in always defining herself by who she serves, she is actually missing out on serving people.
Right.
If you think about that, she should be if her role is in battle and as a leader of battle, she should be at the head of charges. She should not be a lone wolf guarding individual people totally in service to them. She should assert herself more.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Should I jump back
in? Yeah.
Well, you know how a lot of people, I mean, this is one of the classic New Year's resolutions. I got to take better care of myself. And whether it's people giving up smoking, changing their eating habits, exercising more. Probably about half the people we know take on that kind of thing at New Year's. But the classic person in the Game of Thrones world needs to do that is Beric Dondarrion. He needs to take better care of himself because that guy has had the luxury of having, you know, Thoros of Myr around that, you know, he's been chopped in half, he's been burnt, he's been everything, and he gets healed. He's probably had a terrible diet, eating way too many burgers and drinking too much reinforced mead and all of that. He probably got burnt by blue, you know, white hot blue dragon fire at the wall when they destroyed it.
Yeah.
So that guy, he can't get chopped in half anymore. He is going to have to take better care of himself, literally.
Yeah. Is he actually, I thought they killed him for the last time. Is he on his last leg right now?
I think he was at the top of the wall. And, you know, scurrying down the escalators.
Okay, so we shall see.
We shall see. I mean, I think they have to have those principals at the wall straggling in somehow. I'm 90% sure they survived. Again, if you don't see someone's head roll on camera, they are alive in my Game of Thrones world.
I agree. What about Tormund Giantsbane? I really want him and Brienne to get together, or Brienne should tell Jaime how she feels. I want a couple out of those three.
Or maybe. What?
Wait, a threesome? I'm not trying to make triangle love triangles in Game of Thrones. What are you suggesting, Jeremy?
I think Tormund, he needs to become a farmer and just live the sedentary life. Those wildlings, they need to, a lot of them need to, well, now it's winter, so maybe they need their skills, their wilding skills.
Definitely. I would like to see him with Brienne, though. Or Jaime. I mean, Jaime and Brienne had a thing, too. So maybe they should confess their love for one another. But for Jaime, I want him to obviously leave Cersei for the last time and then maybe kill her when he's on the other side for good. I don't see her dying at the hand of anybody else being as satisfying as maybe, like, the one true person she's trusted to kill her.
New Year's resolutions, I think you're supposed to be more positive. I'm hearing all this, like, I need to resolve to kill this person. You're bringing me down. My Jaime resolution was Jaime needs to break the cycle of his dysfunctional relationship with Cersei. He's in an unhealthy, in most civilizations, illegal relationship and needs to... he should find true love himself.
Yeah, I would like to see him become the good guy that we sort of saw him becoming years ago. I've always liked Jaime, and I hate that Cersei has any power over him. I mean, so I just kind of see him being the one that has to make her insaneness come to a close.
Well,
that's the most sanity believe in he the could prophecy. Bring her. Yeah, I do. I believe in the prophecy that she will be slayed by one of her brother's hands, right? And I think it being Tyrion would be way too predictable. So I really hope it's Jaime. That would just add to the drama, be a little Shakespearean. But somebody on the internet said that for Jaime's New Year's resolution, he should know where his left hand is all the time. Is that the one he lost?
No. Because he was the swordsman with the right, so he's a bat. He lost his right, now he wields the sword, and he's only better than 90%, not 99.9%.
So I guess he should protect it, is what they meant. Yeah, but anyway, if he could go back in time, we would tell him to keep an eye on his right hand as well. So I have Jorah Mormont on here. I'm kind of sick of his love for Dany now that we have Jon Snow and Dany together, so I want him to focus on himself for a while. And maybe find someone his age that he likes.
You took that from me.
Is that what yours was?
Mine on Jorah was focus on finding love in the new year. and it's, you know, Jorah Mormont reminds me of a lot of guys around us in L.A. and in Hollywood. Like, you know... probably trying to date women half his age.
Yes.
He needs to find that comfortable relationship, someone that really values him for him.
Yes.
But because remember, what got him into his whole exile and predicament? He married a woman that was, I think, glamorous, very acquisitive, needed expensive things. Lynette Hightower, highborn from the South. And that made him sell slaves, and that made him eventually get sell slaves, get exiled. So he needs to focus on love, focus on a good person,
yes.
not the glamour girls.
No.
And he'll ultimately be happier.
I completely agree.
That Quaithe behind him, he should find her again. They had a nice conversation.
I don't know about that.
They should bring her back. That's another character they should somehow bring back.
Yeah. That's your New Year's resolution for that one. I'm going to pull one out on you. The Night King. I think that he could break his curse if he just had the love of a warm woman's body. I think that would break the curse and turn him back into a man. Because right now, his New Year's resolution is to kill everything that's living.
So you want to like set him up like a You've Got Mail kind of romantic comedy?
Yes. And I want him to not know what he's walking into and it actually be a blind date.
His heart warms up. Wasn't that the plot of one of the like Christmas claymation stories?
It's where likely.
You melted the heart of the Heatmeister and snow ice whatever.
I think George loved that program and he brought that into Game of Thrones. But yeah, I think the Night King, I think we're going to break that curse, because what would be the reasoning of us knowing the man behind the Night King?
You mean in the flashback from
Yes, in the flashback, seeing that, you know, he got cursed and that's how he became the Night King. Like, what would be the point of that if we don't get resolution on his story?
Well, isn't there a conjecture that that person being killed was a Stark? And that's a part of the rumor. That's what people are saying. People are saying that. So maybe we learn that that's the payoff from that scene. I don't know. I mean, remember they plunged that dragon glass into his heart. It's hard to warm a heart that's been punctured by dragon glass.
Maybe it just needs punctured again. or maybe there's still dragon glass stuck in his heart, so we just need to go in there and pull it all out. Maybe it's still in there. Maybe that's it.
A glassectomy.
Yes. what do you got for me?
Well, this is more for a collection of not even characters, just people that we know are there. I mean, we did meet the a few of the maesters around Old Town. We've met a few of the maesters throughout the kingdoms. But I think the maesters of Old Town should be a part of the solution for the oncoming disaster, the Great War. And so their New Year's resolution is, let's stand for something in the new year.
I would love to see them do that.
Really cool, much in the way, like in the next Avengers movie, you know, like the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to come in and help them fight.
Yes.
What if the forces of, like, science combined with the magic, the strategy, the gallantry, the bravery, and, you know, they have a role to play helping to recraft Valyrian steel weapons, or have some way of contributing that, because they seem very content to being chroniclers, or at least as we know them in the show. I hear maybe there's some other threads in the books and things like that, but as we know them in the show, we have some that are like witch doctors and some, but down at the Citadel, they seemed very content to be chroniclers and stay in their realm, and it would be great if they were part of the solution to the coming war.
I agree, because they're known to be the people who are the most knowledgeable. They have access to information. The age of technology has not yet hit them, and the age of information, and so all the basically the internet is at the Citadel, and they're the only ones with access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did something with that knowledge, I mean, what is knowledge if not used? I don't know.
It's kept. I mean, they're as of right now, they are like, again, the monks cloistered, keeping the Hellenic Greek texts, keeping algebra to themselves.
It's not nice.
Maybe later for the Renaissance to be spread out. But they should do that now.
I agree. And that brings me to Euron. And I think it's obvious to everyone that his New Year's resolution is to marry Cersei. mine for him would maybe to not be so obvious with his love for her, and like if he played hard to get, she might be into it a little bit more.
If he played hard to get, well, he did take off in his ships, but that was a ruse.
If he did his own ruses that wasn't placed by Cersei, then I think she, like, if she could respect his work, I think she doesn't respect him right now.
I actually think she does. He's
really,
he's won battles. You know, he had decisive victories where he's done it, taking on the Greyjoy Jr. fleet, mm-hmm. And then destroying the remnants of the Grey Worm fleet when they attacked Lannisport. So maybe I actually she think she does have respect for him.
Well, respect that he's a good, great fighter and, you know, does well in battles, but I don't think she respects him as far as, like, asking for his advice about anything. You know what I mean? Like, you would only ask someone for advice if you respect them, and I think that she's sort of just a pawn. He's a pawn in her game.
I think she wants to have an heir. I think she
would.
She doesn't have much time. Winter is coming, so to speak.
Wow. I mean, you think that's
even her dad talked about
babies are going to happen.
Well, I think she, if you're going to be a queen on a throne, I mean, people, queens throughout history, they work with them on finding the right husband and mm-hmm. making sure they can carry it on the line.
Well, but apparently she is pregnant right now.
I see. We talked about this. Do we think that's a fake? That was just to try to keep Jamie in the fold.
I do.
So I think Euron loves Eurons and Euron. And I think he's exactly the opposite of the kind of personality that would even make a New Year's resolution. So I would not.
He's just sticking to his ways.
Yeah.
How about Arya? I would like to see her cross more names off her list and, like, update it for us. Like, she hasn't repeated it for a while, and I'm wondering if there's anyone on there that maybe we've forgotten.
Yeah, she needs, like, a whiteboard where she turns around and, like, wipes it off.
Yeah.
I started on my little list to type for Arya, and I went the exact opposite way. Arya needs to re-experience childhood. Or Arya needs to develop her full game beyond just her throat slitting and quiche baking.
That's a good one.
Because that was more of a quiche, it seemed. Didn't that look like a quiche that she made? So you want her to go even more nutso. And I want her to be more in the world of her brothers and sisters that she's back in the midst of.
But that would change this whole TV show, which I love it the way it is. So I don't want to change it too much.
Do you think she still has a couple quality kills in her?
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited for him, too.
Well, who is still literally on her list? I mean,
the Hound,
Cersei.
But, yeah, the Hound and Cersei, but I think she's let go of the Hound because they sort of departed in a friendly way. She left him alive, basically. She could have killed him, and she didn't.
Mm.
And so,
wait, are you talking on the hillside after he fell down?
Uh-huh.
Is that the last of their interactions? Is that the last time she laid eyes on him? I mean, because people, like, he has interacted with Brienne of Tarth down.
No one has told her, though.
Yeah, you wonder if she would know that the Hound is now kind of through, what is it, transitive property on her side.
Yeah, I think the Hound is already gone through resolutions, though. Like, he seems to be a character who has made a circle in his life. He has, you know, gotten rid of his bad habits and sort of become a good guy over the years.
Well, he's one, like, Jaime kind of is serpentining, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes about a season, then he switches sides, and goes about a season, switches sides. Theon, who Theon is like the most loyal to one side, and then he totally flips. Like, he was actually the most loyal Stark son, even though he wasn't a Stark son. The Hound, it took like 3 or 4 seasons for him to kind of go all the way to what we think now is the good side. And I think he's pretty much in there.
I think, though, he does his New Year's resolution, if this was for him, would be to kill his brother, the Mountain, and get his revenge for his burnt face, living a life with his burnt face. I mean, for me, I kind of want to see the Clegane Ball as well, so.
He's one of those people that makes the same New Year's resolution every year. I wonder if he had that New Year's resolution, like, for the last 20-something, 30 years in the show, or if he just did it after the war started and that moment at the tournament.
Yeah.
The joust after the beheading of the horse and all of that, if maybe it was that fight that was the final thing.
Oh my gosh, you just reminded me of my favorite character ever, Oberyn. And I put for his New Year's resolution, don't brag. Because that's when He was killed when he started, like, boasting and making him, like, repeat everything he had done and that he had basically won. And, you know, that caused him to die. It cost him his life.
There's a phrase. Kevin Costner in The Untouchables to Robert De Niro as Al Capone. Never stop fighting until the fight is done. That's what he should have done. You can't think you've won it.
Oh, I miss him. He was really one of my favorites. I wanted to go into Bran Stark. I want to tell him to stop being so emo and tell John who his parents are.
Have we seen a conversation with those? Were they at... No, they were not at Winterfell. John went on his Bahamas vacation down south to the island to hang out with Daenerys. And then Bran arrived.
Yep.
And they haven't thought of sending a raven.
Well, I think it'd probably be too dangerous. That's kind of information he would want to only say to John, probably in person.
But Sam knows it too, right? Who's going to break it?
Yeah.
I mean, who could
They're
going
to both come in at the same time.
Oh, that's
and be like,
okay.
John.
Yeah. Who breaks it to John? How does he find out? Is it Sam that found it in a book, Bran that found it in a vision, or Howland Reed, who we've only met in flashback, we think. I wonder if he's been, like, in the back of the Winterfell. Remember when they had the big meeting of all the Northern Lords? I wonder if he was back there. I'm surprised we haven't met him yet. That's another thing for the writers. That's another character I wanted them to make sure they include in the wrap-up somehow. But somehow, yeah.
I think since Bran doesn't feel like he's supposed to really interject or let other people know what he has seen, I think it's going to be Sam to tell him, and then he's not going to believe it, and then Bran will confirm it.
Is he not supposed to do that? I mean, he did it with Littlefinger.
Well, he only lets the other person know that he has seen it. He doesn't go around saying, I have visions and I know all these things. I feel like that's not... I mean, I think Sansa sort of has an idea about it, but, like, I don't think he's spreading rumors about what he has seen, you know?
I see dead people. Little sixth sense.
I think he would want to warg into the Ice Dragon, though, or the Night King as his New Year's resolution.
I don't think he's strong enough to do that. I mean, the Night King is...
Not yet.
You know how Superman is, like... The strongest, the fastest, has the best laser eyes. The Night King seems to be as good at, like, psychic as Bran. He could definitely throw a spear better. I mean, I wouldn't want to take him on individually.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're running out of time slowly, so I'm going to just say a few of mine, and then you can just say a few of yours. So for Varys, I had stop whispering. I don't know. I'm just kind of sick of him just, like, not really telling anyone where he stands and just, like, still keeping secrets. Like, I'm ready for him to just, you know, speak outright what he's thinking and stop using the army of children and the little birds.
Do we know? I mean, he lost access to the ones he had in King's Landing.
Yeah,
So... You're saying...
Have his voice and like, make it that it's him speaking instead of, like, I heard it through the grapevine kind of thing. Hmm. I'm just kind of done with that. I'm done with your gossiping, Varys. And then Margaery, I said time travel and make your move before Cersei blows you up. And Melisandre, I want her to come back in case Jon needs resurrected again.
Well, that's another character that, you know, we've left her. She must be coming back.
I hope so. We're going to need her, too. I really think
Wait, so what's the resolution? Show back up?
Yeah.
Come back to us.
Her New Year's resolution is to, like, get people to forgive her, you know, and come back.
She went back east, right? Did she go back to
I think Essos? She's been exiled. Yeah, so.
Where would she pop up? Where, you know, in the geography, that's going to be fun to think about where we see people in geography. Is this war with the dead going to, you know, it won't span the continents, but it will maybe go pretty far south.
Yeah. For Hodor, I had Hodor. That's his New Year's resolution.
I think he should Hodor.
That's a good point. So you're disagreeing with me.
Hodor.
Do you have some?
Just a final one on my end. Theon. Grow a pair.
Seriously.
That's I mean, I'm sure I'm stealing a line that a lot of people have out there on the internet. But But
I want him to remember his true identity. I'm sick of what is the, his name that Reek? They call him Reek. I'm so sick of Reek. Just remember your true identity and stop with the Reek. Stop reeking.
Out. Well, he got the shock therapy back into the real world. Remember sort again of. What I mentioned earlier was he was like the most loyal to Ned Stark. He really wanted to prove himself as his virtual son. He was ready mm-hmm. to slit the throats of all of the. Direwolves in the first episode. Then he really wanted to prove himself to his natural father and totally yeah. overcommitted by taking Winterfell and overextending the troops. Then he totally wanted to prove himself to Bolton. And and then it seemed like he redeemed himself with his sister Yara. What, I mean, how is he going to end up? Where is his, like, very quick-changing loyalties going to end up? I think we saw a strength in him in the second-to-last episode where he beat his, lieutenant.
Right.
Making sure he took mm-hmm. the ship to rescue his sister. And hopefully he ends, I'm sure it's going to end tragically. Or, I mean, I don't see him being one of the survivors of the show, but I bet he has a redeeming death.
Yes, I think it's going to be death that he finds his pride in. I have for the White Walkers, take swimming lessons. It seems like sometimes they can get through water and sometimes they can't. And apparently Podrick Payne, it's been rumored that he's like good at sex or something, so I just put have more on for him.
That might be the one I try to take on this year.
Have more sex. That's going to be Jeremy Dibbs.
It's for health. It's to take better, care of myself.
It's actually, they say you're healthier, that kind of the comfort level that you get from another human being and everything that's released from just being embraced. Mm. I mean, there's a lot to be gained there health-wise. It's a good health decision.
To your health.
Have more sex in 2018. For Samwell, I put gain some confidence. Like, he seems to have to keep, like, sort of being a hero, but, like, still not having confidence being a hero. And, like, I just want him to, like, get to Jon and be useful. Like, Sam has not really, I feel like, ever been confident. Or, like, how much heroic stuff do we have to see him do before he finally, like, stands his ground as a man?
I wholeheartedly disagree in that. Really? I think we have seen that confidence in him. Remember, it's not going to be manifested by him on a battlefield, which is mm-hmm. what his father, I think to his father's discredit, didn't realize that his son was really talented, just talented not in the traditional ways of Tarly's. I mean, remember, right. he made the bold move. He said, I want to get this training down at Old Town.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't finish it. Instead, he just healed Jorah.
Well, yeah, but then he took the decisive action of stealing the family sword. Valyrian steel, by the way. He took the decisive action of when he saw that the Maesters of Old Town were not action-oriented people. He mm-hmm. said this knowledge can be used for action. So I do think we see that in him just
to
in
some degree.
Ways.
I think it's building. It's getting better and better. But I'm like, where is he now? Is he on his way to Jon? Like, I just want to see it, like, come to fruition. Like, I feel like we're getting there. He's getting better. He's taking some action. But I haven't, like, I still for some reason see him as, like, the guy that gets stepped on. So, like, I want to see him step on a few others.
I think he's going to design a dragon glass Uzi,
yes.
and it's going to save the day.
I think he's for sure going to save the day with his knowledge. Let's see what I hear for Cersei. I have to be less of a B here. the not nice word.
Then I think the show would be less boring. I think we need her to play her.
But this is just like for her health and happiness. And, she should maybe take some therapy or something. But hers is probably to kill her brother Tyrion. And then I have for Bronn, I want him to stop fighting for money and just fight for his old friend Tyrion. Like, go back to the right side.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about Bronn as well, that and much in the same way, like, again, stand for something.
Yes.
That's one thing in Game of Thrones. We have a few opportunists, but people really are committed to their causes. Even mm-hmm. now, the Hound was a real opportunist, just wanted to sell Arya off. Now he's committed to a cause. I do think in the end, where it was people devoted to causes, I think Martin treated them cynically. Like, you're stupid if you're like Ned Stark and devoted to a cause. And now I think we see some of those people even becoming more devoted. Even like a Dario Naharis became more devoted to a queen in service. We see others, and I think Bronn could be one of the people that makes that final transition.
I hope so, because I've always really liked him, but I just, when he doesn't stand for anything, it's hard to get behind a character like that who just is willing to do whatever for money.
I saw him on Black Mirror the other day. He was on an episode of
Black
Mirror.
Which episode? I've watched all of them.
I think it's the new... Is there a new season?
Yes, but
I don't keep up
episode?
That much. But it's one where people were being blackmailed via their mobile phones.
Oh,
and
no, that's an old one. That's season
old.
Two.
Okay, that's yeah. old. Well, I'm way behind.
You're
but
way behind.
It was
Jeremy
so disconcerting to see. It was the exact same hairstyle, exact same mustache, exact same accent.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember
a lot of curse
that.
Words, and he was
of course.
Dressed in a tie and wielding a mobile phone.
Wow. Well, before you get into your news special about Bitcoin and whatnot, I want to say for Ramsey, I want to say, you know, get some therapy, work on your daddy issues, and maybe show those dogs some love. And maybe, you know, his life would have ended differently.
If in the end he would have showed the dogs some love, they, who knows, might have helped him escape, but he starved them for a week.
I agree.
They were famished. They had to eat something.
I agree. So for our news portion, we're going to talk about cryptocurrency, brought to you by entrepreneurship and business professor at USC Marshall, Jeremy Dan.
Well, it just seemed to me that other than, you know, books emanating from the White House, in recent weeks, people have been talking more about cryptocurrency than anything. Bitcoin, mm-hmm. Ethereum, Litecoin, Ripple. And, I mean, we know a lot of people that are dabbling in this. People,
oh yeah,
imprudently, a lot of them. But it's easy to double, triple, quadruple your money in days and have mm-hmm. it all go away in days as well. But this is something that could really change Westeros. You know, a few weeks ago, we had the episode on the Westerosian economy. It seems to me that if you had, like, a cryptocurrency there, you could really undermine the power of the Iron Bank. Which
for
is
sure.
just pulling so many strings right now. Mm-hmm. And the Lannister gold mines tapped out. Tyrell gold has all been shipped off to pay the old debts. What is there any money left in freaking Westeros? They need to go crypto. I mean, you have a lot of the elements already there. Ravens.
Yes.
It's the best technology for transmission ever.
Of the code.
We've only seen one fail of a Raven message when Theon shot a Walder Frey Raven out of the air that had some coded message in it. Otherwise, it seems they are 100%
reliable. Those
reliable.
Ravens.
They fly like 880 miles an hour. You could have all of those guys, you know, crypto relies on a ledger of all the transactions, like this virtual ledger. And we have all these maesters down in Old Town that could be doing the codes and keeping the ledgers.
I
think there's a lot of possibilities there, and it would take them to a new era. It would finally allow that economy not to be backwards.
I agree.
A little goofy idea, but I think we should work
like
on it for
it.
Next season.
Are you investing in cryptocurrency? Do you think it's something that people should do?
I'm just investing in Westerosos, which is backed up by... it's the new one that started tonight. It's backed up by...
I'll get behind that.
Fossilized dragon
Can
eggs.
You imagine if they did have a cryptocurrency for Game of Thrones? Like, everyone would buy that.
That's the next thing. Just like you buy a keychain with, like, a certain city you visited on it. People are going to want, like, a... You know, a Walking Dead cryptocurrency or something like that mm-hmm. will survive, guaranteed to survive the zombie apocalypse.
I'm afraid, honestly, I heard that right now, if you, obviously all of the Bitcoins are very high, the price, so the best one to invest in right now is LTE, the Litecoin. It's about $300 right now, but predicted to go to $1,000 next month. So if you want to triple your money and then cash out, I would say do that, because... I know it's the worst one of all of them, but it costs the least, and so that's why everyone's going to buy it right now. And I really think that it's just going to all disappear, so I would triple my money and get out.
That investment strategy will work 80% of the time, every time. or more like 40% of the time, every time.
Whatever, Jeremy. Well, tell me what to do. You're the professor of entrepreneurship and business.
I know we're just doing it as a joke, but if we're really having a crypto investment thing, you know, it is interesting. You can get in. It takes a while to get into this, like put up accounts on the sites. You got to take a picture of your driver's license and all that with a lot.
Verify your identity.
Crazy. Yeah, it is a way to learn about the new economy and things like that. I mean, you asked if I had invested. I almost did it almost as a part of my duty as a business professor. I had, like, just in the hallways, I've noticed the intensity of cryptocurrency conversations, like, doubling every week for the last 6 months. So it was, again, almost my duty to dabble.
Do you think it's going to sustain, or do you think it's going to disappear and people are going to lose a lot of money?
Yes.
You think it's going to disappear and people are going to
lose a lot of money? No, your question was, is it going to sustain or are people going to lose a lot of money? And I said,
yes, it will sustain.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the answer here? Give me an answer.
It will go up and people will lose a lot of money. Yes.
Yes to both. Okay, got it. That's pretty much how things go.
You know, just like they wiped the House of Tyrell and maybe even Martell from the maps. Mm-hmm. Some of these are going to be wiped from the maps, and they're going to merge and be that value be taken over by others. So much like some of the minor lords of Westeros, they will be wiped out in stronger houses like, I don't know, Ethereum and Ripple will win the game of coins.
You think so?
Game of coins.
I love that. Game of coins! Woo! You heard it first. Jeremy Dan. Game of Thrones Weekly. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us. I missed you guys. I missed Jeremy. I missed talking Game of Thrones. Oh, that was nice. Jeremy, where can we keep up with you? We just have to come take a class, right?
There's nowhere. Or on this show.
On this show. I like that. I like that.
We'll work on, maybe that should be my New Year's resolution.
Exactly.
Of get social.
Yes. Mine, I think, is to push myself when I'm tired, because I am tired a lot, and I either don't want to work on a project or I don't want to go out and hang out with my friends when I'm so tired. But this year, I'm going to push myself, and hopefully some fruits will come out of my labor.
You and I will party more.
Okay, perfect. And I hope you guys get out there, put yourself out there, come up with some new healthy ways to start 2018, and don't abandon them. Just like all the ones that we came up for the characters, tweet at us if you thought of any. I'm at Cinematic Escape. We'll see you guys soon. Catch us every week at 7 p.m. on Sundays for Game of Thrones Weekly. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Happy New Year!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.